know that you can't make decisions by yourself, that it's impossible to make a decision by yourself? You always make your decision with your advisor, and your advisor is going to tell you the way for you to go about your happiness. So the question is, which advisor are you going to listen to? You can't make a decision by yourself. You're either going to make a decision with the fear in you, or you're going to make a decision with the love in you. You're either going to make a decision with the part of you that wants to limit you, or you're going to make a decision with the part of you that wants to free you. Who's going to be your advisor today? Because it's impossible for you to make a decision by yourself. You always make a decision with your advisor, your counselor, and that's the two voices inside you. And the purpose of the Course in Miracles is to teach us how to tell the difference between when we are getting ready to listen to the voice within us that limits us, or when we are going to be listening to the voice within us that frees us and liberates us. So it teaches us how to tell the difference between those two voices, which it calls two choices. You don't have to believe anything that I say tonight. You don't have to accept anything that I say tonight. You don't have to welcome it. You don't have to believe it. You're going to find some of it hard to believe. You're going to find some of it quite startling. You're not really being asked to judge the ideas at all, really. It's using the ideas. Using the ideas will show you that the ideas are true. Now, just keep on relaxing. It's okay for Americans to do nothing. It is. I know it's scary to Americans, but we can do it. I got faith in us. Just keep relaxing. It's okay. I haven't taken out any Kool-Aid yet. Everything's all right. Okay. So. You have a mission here tonight. And I want to know if you're willing to open your mind to the purpose of your peace. The purpose of your peace. Are you willing? Are you willing to open yourself up to the purpose of your peace so you can call on your power? So I'd like for you to right now, in your own way, call on your power. You are powerful. You are super. There is nothing you cannot achieve. You are a brilliant, innocent, powerful, unlimited, juicy being. Take it in. Take it in. Take it in. Let yourself have it. Let yourself have it. Let yourself have it. Let me tell you about you. Let me tell you about you. You are spirit, unlimited being. You are spirit, unlimited being. Beyond your body, beyond your past, you are beyond your guilt. You are so cool. Super cool. Unbelievably cool. Flash dance cool. You are cool. No matter what you think about yourself, there is a part of you that's so cool. And you know there's a part of you that's cool. You've just been wondering why everyone else has never seen it. You want to get rid of the blocks that keep people from realizing how beautiful and wonderful you are, because you know you have something to offer, but for some reason they're missing it. So you decided you were going to change your mind and you were going to claim your power. You decided you were no longer going to be a victim of anything or anyone beyond you. You decided you want to get in touch with the love in you instead of the fear. You want to get in touch with the peace in you instead of the conflict. You want to get in touch with the part of you that's free instead of the part of you that feels in prison. You want to get in touch with the part of you that's beyond any fear, any guilt, any sickness, any worry. The part of you that is totally powerful, totally abundant, totally beautiful, and totally... You are cute. Really, really cute. No matter what you say to yourself, you are cute. You are powerful. You are innocent. You've lost your sense of humor, but it's coming back. I can see it coming. Your joy. Yes, Penelope, there is happiness. And you are going to experience it one day. Mm-hmm. You're going to be able to recognize the wrong person in 2 seconds and head in the other direction. You're going to recognize misery and go the other way. You're going to ask for another way to look at it when you are afraid. You're going to realize you have an inner guide, and you're going to want to get rid of every block inside of you that keeps you from hearing your inner guide. You're going to want to let go of any fear or guilt that keeps you from recognizing your power and your beauty and the happy life you were meant to have. You are ready to be happy. You're ready to let go of anything that blocks your happiness. You are tired of this crap. You've had enough. You have reached your limit. You know you have. Just before you came over here, you want to pull your hair out. You didn't know what the hell you were gonna do. You got this issue. This issue, this issue, this issue. You got this issue. This issue, this issue. My issue, your issue. We know our issue. We love our issue. We love our issues. We love it. I love my story. 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 Yeah. I was born to Georgia, Georgia Purdy. Poor black family in the South, having to fight for their rights in the country of the man, a victim of everything around me. My God, when are things gonna change? I got my story, my victim story, but I'm letting it go. I'm claiming my power. I'm telling myself the point of power is in the present. The point of power is right now. Right now. Your point of power is right now. It's right now. It's right now. It's right now. Good. Now, here are the guidelines to the course.
Whoa!
These are the guidelines. These are the only things you need to remember about this class tonight.
Accept it.
little pause interruptus. Kind of jarred you, didn't it? Okay. Good. Everybody clear on the meditation?
Yeah. That was good.
Was that a cool meditation?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we can have a little light, if you don't mind. Oh, man. That lady that was singing that song is the minister of the Mile High Church.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She can sing.
She is fabulous.
She's a fabulous singer. And she's the part of me that knows how to sing.
She's an excellent teacher.
Let the other parts of you do the things you don't know how to do. All right. I think we're ready for chapter 4. I don't take out chapter 4 in class except once every 5 or 6 years or so. But I wait until just the right group of people get here, and then I do chapter 4. That simply means I think I got enough money saved to survive to the next group come back.
That's funny.
Some of y'all will not be returning. Just so you know. I'm going to do a section called the body as a means of communication. You're going to notice that when I share some things from the Course in Miracles, a very unusual thing is going to happen. First time I say it, you probably won't hear it. And then you notice as I repeat it, it'll be almost like something pushing through some kind of a veil or some kind of a wall. Because there's something about this material that makes people tune it out when they first hear it. Some people tune out as soon as I say hello. You know what I'm saying, right? And so what I'm going to do is say, like, the very first, the Course says three word sentences that'll just knock you out. Like, projection makes perception. Everything you're looking at is your projection. You're projecting out everything you're looking at. So everything you're looking at is your projection. Then it says, here's another one. Attack is physical. Always. So that means that, now you don't have to believe this, right, so I can go ahead and say it? Okay. So that means that there's no such thing as physical attack. When any kind of attack enters your mind, anytime you get mad and anytime you get ready to go off, what that means is that you are now equating yourself with the body. Because the part of you that's pissed off and mad and feels like it's a victim and everything isn't going its way, that part of you wants to use your body to attack the people that it's mad at. Y'all still with me?
Yeah.
All right. So it says you do not have to attack physically to accept this interpretation.
What page
are you on? You're on page, we're on page 151 in the text. You don't have to go around attacking your people yourself in order to believe that the body can be used to attack. Right? So even if you all attack people or not, you still know the body can be used to attack. So the Course says, the reason why we accept the idea of using our body to get what we want is because we believe that by attacking people, we can get what we want. So if I go off on you, you're going to treat me better. I think that if I attack you, you're going to like me more. Certainly you're going to want to spend the night at home with me if I attack you. That's going to really make you want to stay home with me tonight. You know, you just can't wait to spend the night with this person that's always attacking you to try to get you to do what they want. Okay. Everybody still with me?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I said I was going to do chapter 4, and then at the last minute, my other voice said, nah. I want you, you're going to get to it, but you got to do this one right here now. I always wait to get the instructions from my higher self or the insane part of my mind that hears little voices.
That's
Sometimes I had that fear, you know. Could the voice of God just mean I'm insane, you know, because I'm hearing his voice in my head. The funny thing, though, is every time I do what it says, I experience peace. And every time I disobey it, I get the opposite of peace. So I like learning through rewards. Don't you?
Yeah,
I'm tired of learning through pain. Who's over to learn? Anybody else in here beside me that wants to let go of learning through pain? Can we admit we did a damn good job, though? If they had the pain Oscars, would we win or what? You know, for the most miserable life, Earl Purdy. Thank you very much. I most certainly want to thank my mother and my father for this award. Thank you for the most miserable childhood. I couldn't have done it without you. This is for you. Wherever you are, Mom and Dad. Yeah. So, but really, my parents acted exactly the way I wanted them to for me to learn the spiritual lessons that would wake me up to where I am right now. I ordered them from the parents' store before I was born, as well as my body and my sex and my race. I want to rewrite the money part. Okay. So, how many of y'all can see that? He says, whenever you feel depressed, it's because you're equating yourself with your body. That's deep. I thought I was depressed because I wasn't getting something I wanted. And the Course says, no, you're depressed because you're equating yourself with this limited thing that doesn't have the power to give you what you want. Because if it could, you'd be having it right now and you'd be happy. So you're depressed because you think you're being deprived of something that you want. He says, but if you see yourself as just a body, you're going to be depressed. If you're just something that's temporary that can be destroyed at any point in time, it's hard to be cheerful. You know, when you know at any moment, you know, like right now, I'm getting braced for the West Nile, you know, what's that fly? The mosquito, yeah. I remember when I was a kid, you just can't even have 50 mosquitoes on you. You'd be dancing down the street, you know what I'm saying? You didn't care. Yeah. Now everybody running for mosquitoes. You know, I'm scared that West Nile mosquito gonna get me. You know, I'm an unlimited child of God running from a mosquito. And the Course of Miracles hints all the way through it that when you see this correctly, you will be laughing. Because it's really funny. It's really funny when you look at it. But if you believe it, it's hard to laugh at it. If you're totally caught up in the illusion, then you're probably offended. Okay.
The mosquito will laugh, too.
I love how the Course says, oh, so you just think you're something that, you know, you just came here to struggle a little while and compete with everybody and hope you can snatch a few little shabby relationships before you die. Then you're going to be laid in the ground where worms can eat you.
Yeah.
And I was like, going, boy, that don't sound like poetry. You know what I'm saying? And then he said, then the worms themselves are going to also doom too. And he said, you really think God created this thing that we're walking around in? He said, are you out of your mind? Yes, you're out of your mind. That's the only reason why you can perceive a world with this much fear and separation and guilt, is that we're certainly not in the mind that love made up. So if we're not in the mind that love made up, there must be another mind that's out there that we're not hanging around in. I got a feeling there's a party going on and we're missing it. Don't y'all have that feeling sometimes? There's this really big party going on and you can just kind of feel it. You can just feel it in your psychic vibe, you know what I'm saying? And yet you see you're not partying. You're not doing too much partying, you know what I'm saying? You're trying to make it. I love it. So, okay, here we go. He says, when you equate yourself with a body, you will always experience depression. When a child of God thinks of themselves as a body, what you're doing is when you think you're a body, you are belittling yourself by thinking that you are a body, and then you're seeing everybody else as little as you. I think I'm this little thing, and I think you're all the little things you appear to be, too. And he says, so I see you just as little as me. But since I can only find myself in you, then when I see you as having no power, I'm cutting myself off from my own salvation. It's like the fireman coming to rescue me, but I don't have any faith in his skills. That's what we look at each other. Like, you know, how would you feel? You know, the fireman is coming to work to rescue you, but you don't believe in his skills. But really, what you really want to do is believe in that fireman like you've never believed in a fireman before. If you're standing on that ledge and then flames he kicking you in your butt, you need to be like hoping that this is the fireman of the year coming up the ladder for you. You know, but what we do is we sit around and put each other down and then expect to find out happiness in each other. We sit around and think we can't trust each other and then we want to find somebody out there that's going to make us feel safe, the course is saying. And that's totally insane. That's totally insane for me to look for the weakness in you and think I'm going to find the strength in you. Boy, that's deep. Okay? That's going. That was the first paragraph. Any questions? That was the paragraph of A Course in Miracles. Anybody hear a really interesting idea that kind of jogged them?
Yeah, but I can't remember it.
I want to warn you about the Course in Miracles amnesia. People who come here regularly know it. You will forget most of the things I say. You'll forget that you ever came here. There are millions
projection.
Of people running around, you know, looking
perception
for my class.
Perception is projection.
Perception is projection. Projection makes perception. Right.
Okay.
All right.
That was my big
point. Right. That means whatever you're looking at is what you're projecting out yourself.
Right, and then you said attack is physical, and I thought you said you had three of those, or did I misunderstand?
Attack is physical, three of what?
Three of those three word sentences.
Yeah.
No, if I did, I forgot one of them.
Yeah, he forgot
one.
I don't know if I'm saying it or now I'm developing early Alzheimer's. I'm trying to decide which ones those are because I don't remember the past like I used to.
Oh my God.
Am I losing my short-term memory? Am I having short-term memory loss? Am I really getting enlightened?
But are you at peace with it? Right?
I'm at peace because I don't even remember what to get upset about. So, I feel like I'm in pretty good shape, you know what I'm saying? I don't even know what I have to forgive people for. You know, because I'm not constantly reminding myself of what people have done to me in the past. So if I don't do that, I'll forget what I'm upset with them about, and then it just go away. So either I got to constantly remind myself all the time of what I'm upset about, or I got to make sure I surround myself with people who never let me forget.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, see, I don't do either one. I don't surround myself with people who constantly remind me of what's wrong with me, and then I don't try to remember what's wrong with me all day either. So it's not really, I don't really have anybody to forgive because I don't even remember.
Pretty soon, no.
And there's nobody in my present reality attacking me, so it doesn't matter what happened in my past. You know, I just love the life that I'm living in my mind. anybody
yeah.
else? Anybody
like
else with the little voices that say, "You're so cute, girl." I'm kind of waiting for other people to tell me stuff I can tell myself. I was waiting too much. I was going to be dead before people appreciated me like I wanted them to. I realized I didn't have enough time to waste to try to get everybody to like me.
Yeah.
That just takes too much time. Just put yourself out there and somebody that likes you is going to see you and they're going to show up. But they can't see you if you hide. You got to extend. You got to put yourself out there. You got to share who you are. You got to stop just bringing your representative to the table. Because that's who meet when you go out the first time. It's each other's representative. The real person is nowhere to be found. He's at home watching ER. Come back with the report about what she was like, okay? This is the course that we do. The course says we sit down and we send messengers out in the world to bring back to us whatever it is we believe about ourselves. Mm-hmm. So the part of me that's afraid, it sends out. I send it out into the world. It finds every pain, sorrow, suffering, conflict, the problem they can come up with, and then it brings it back to my perception. And then I see it, and then I feed off of it. It becomes my food. My way of seeing things becomes my food. That's what I feed myself out of, you know. This is, there's another set of messages you can send out that's full of love and peace and freedom and happiness. They'll go out and they'll find all the happiness and cool stuff and fun stuff and abundant stuff they can and bring that back to you. But you got to decide which one of the messengers you want to send out there. That's what you got to decide. And just realize that all your feelings are coming from you and you're sending them to yourself. So if nobody really turns you on, you just turn yourself on about them. That's why when one person touches you, you want to call the police, and another person touches you, and you want to orgasm, but they can touch you in the same spot. One person you offended, the other person you turned on. They touch the same spot. If you just had to feel that feeling, you had it no matter who touched you. If you bust against the door, you go, you know what I'm saying? You know, in your body, you just have the feeling you would have no choice about it. This is what the book is trying to tell us. If you can choose who to feel what with, then you're the one that's making all the feelings that you're feeling. So if you're feeling bad, it's you making yourself feel bad. Takes the responsibility. I don't care what happened to me when I was a kid. The way I feel right now about it is my choice. It is. It is. Like right now, being with you all. The way I feel right now, being with you, is my choice. I could choose to be up here and act like I think I ought to act. You know, or I can sit up here and be myself and see who hangs.
I've never seen anyone walk out. Have you?
There's somebody walking out now. No, we don't know why they left.
Oh, okay.
See, that's the thing I had to realize is that I don't know.
They didn't have the courtesy to close the door.
That's okay. That's all right. That's okay. I don't know why they left. You got to understand. I don't know why they left.
Right.
So there is no judgment about whether it was for a good reason or a bad reason. I just thought it was a great dramatic effect. That's what I was thinking about. It didn't have nothing to do with it. To me, it was like, man, I said that they went, doop. See, I know them personally, so I know they like me no matter what I said. Those are the kind of people that I want. That even if they don't like what I said, they still like me. The other kind that I have to talk a certain way, act a certain way. It's just too tough. It's too tough. It's just too hard. It's too hard for me to be other than myself. It is. It is. I love you. You're perfect. Now change. Please. So can you find yourself in me if you see me as a bum? If it's taking a little bit harder. If you want to see me as something that's lacking. So he says now, the part of you that loves you, which of course calls the Holy Spirit, our same mind, the part of us that knows the truth, he said, it interprets your body only as a means of communication. So the part of you that loves you, the higher part of you, I don't mean higher like that, but the higher part of you, the Course says, it just sees your body as a means of communication, that there's a part of you that you have that's a communication link between you and what created you. There's you, and then there's your communication link between you and what created you. And the Course calls that the Holy Spirit. That's the part of you, the part of God, whatever you want to call it, that sees where you are and also knows the truth about you. So the part of you that knows the truth about you and only wants you to have happiness is going to use your body as a means of communication. Okay? And it says, because everything that is interpreted by the part of you that loves, that part of you sees it as love. Part of you that loves sees everything in your life as a way to bring you love. You hear me?
Yeah.
Now, there's another part of you that separates through the body, and there's another part of you that reaches through the body to others. Okay, so there's a part of me that will use my body to connect with you, and there's a part of me that will use my body to get away from you. Is everybody about to see that? All right?
Yeah.
Then it says, you do not perceive others as the loving part of you does, because we don't see bodies only as a means of joining minds. In other words, I got to see my body as a way of uniting my mind with your mind. I got to use my body to help us join in the purpose of love, join in the purpose of peace, join in the purpose of truth. I got to use my body to help me join your mind. I used to try to use my body to help me join another body. Hello? Anybody recognize that desire to join with another body? And so whenever the Course says anything about the body, there's a part of me that wants to feel like it's trying to put the body down or say to somebody, yeah, you can't enjoy the body or something like that. That's a trick. Don't fall for that. Okay? That's a trick. Don't fall for that. I'm just saying, if you try to get somebody's body and you leave their man out,
you're in trouble.
Sooner or later, you're going to get introduced to that man. Because the body is going to hold your attention just so long. I don't care how good the sensations are. And you're going to realize that you're with this man. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And you're gonna learn something else about it. That whatever this mind thinks, you experience it with it. You know, if this mind is thinking that it's upset and mad and a victim, then you got to go through this mind feeling like it's upset and mad and a victim. Everybody you with, you have to go with whatever, you know, you go through whatever they go through with them. You might deal with it your own way, but you right there going through it with them. So when you join with somebody, what you're doing is agreeing to go through their thoughts with them.
Wow.
Have a nice day. Oh, we're just so happy tonight. We thrilled out of our minds, aren't we? This is just, we get bored. Because you get scared when you hear thoughts like that, you know? Yeah. When you're with people that you know crazy. Yeah. You know, you know they're crazy. Oh, Lord, I got to go through my husband's thoughts with them. Or my mama, Lord, yeah. I got to go through. Okay, now here it goes. Then it says, if you were to see everybody's body as a way to join minds with them, you would totally change your mind about how valuable your body is. That if you really use your body to make real relationships, you would have a whole new value of your body. Your body would look totally different to you if the only purpose of your body was to use it to help you join with like minds. You would start to, you would watch your body begin to heal right before your eyes. Nobody believes I'm 965. But if you get to know me, you'll know, you'll swear I'm 965. Because your body really doesn't have any value in and of itself. Haven't you noticed that your body don't mean nothing to some people?
Yeah.
You try to get it to them and they don't want it. That's almost like the prerequisite for going after them, is that they can't want it. You know, if you're afraid to give something, you would never let yourself fall for somebody who would let you have it. So people who are afraid of love and afraid of peace and afraid of joy, they're never going to fall in love with somebody that would give it to them because they're afraid of it. You're falling in love with what you're not afraid of. That's the only thing you're allowing to come into your life, is what you're not afraid of.
Jeez.
So your life is full of what you're not afraid of, and you think your life is full of what you're afraid of. And I'm here to inform you tonight that your life is full of what you're not afraid of. That's the only reason why you permitted it to enter. Because nothing enters the life of a child of God unless they want it to.
Well, I need you to say that again.
I know it's like taking your mind and just twisting it, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. One of my favorite lines in the course is this. Simplicity is very difficult for twisted minds. I put that up on the wall. This is so funny when you think about it. I'll say it again. Okay, if we really are the creators of our experience, do we agree then that nothing comes into our experience that we didn't create?
Yeah.
So that would mean that everything that's in our life is something we want there, whether we think so or not. And if we were really afraid of it, if we were really afraid of it, and therefore not permitting it to come, it wouldn't be there. So the things that we think we are afraid of are really the things that we're using to hide from ourselves the thing that we're really afraid of. And what the Course says you're really afraid of is looking within and seeing no sin or guilt. What if you looked inside of yourself and there wasn't anything wrong with you? That there's not a thing missing in you and nothing that needs to be fixed. Thank you for sharing. I like when people share in my class. Just remind me to put a little bucket around you during your enlightenment period. Put some plastic on the floor. Hey, I'm going to be enlightened tonight. Put some plastic on the floor. I'm going to pee my pants tonight.
That is deep, though, you know.
That is deep. See, did you notice that the part of you came up that wanted to defend against that idea that you weren't afraid of the things in your life? Did you see instantly how invested you are and weakened that I am in feeling afraid? Notice that we had a chance to feel like it wasn't, because it's really just a perception. You could just as easily perceive it as something you're not afraid of as you can perceive it as something you're afraid of. And it's a trip to have that choice put in front of your face right there. It got in front of you. And see, you could ask, everybody thought they could make that choice, and then they saw themselves choose for the fear. Mm-hmm. Want to defend against it. And that keeps it there, too. Yeah.
The hardest thing I have with this type of thought is having dealt with crime victims.
Right.
You know, rape victims, murder victims, robbery, things like that. You know, so this type of thinking, is there a line you would draw with things like that? You know, because to me, in that type of situation, it's sort of like, you know, when somebody's mind causes them to cross a line and violate somebody, can you really say that that person who we generally in society call a victim, can you say that that person created that scenario?
Not to them.
Yeah.
Not to them. I'd never say it to them. I'd say it to myself. For them, I would remind, I would remember that they're powerful beings. I would remember that they're unlimited for them. I would remember that no matter what's happened to them, they are stronger than that, and they can go beyond that, and that they have health and support every way possible. But if I was talking to them, all I would do in that moment would be to do everything that I could possibly do to support them feeling safe right then and right there in my presence. It wouldn't have anything with me to do with me trying to explain to them my perception of how it happened. So as far as me personally, through my study for, you know, 30 years, I have now accepted the idea that there is a part of me that creates every single thing that happens to me. But I started out not believing that and asking the exact same things that you're asking right now. And what I realized was that my only function is to never forget how powerful everyone is. That's my function. And to realize that whatever they're going through right now, there is no justification for attack, there is no justification for pain, there is no justification for anything like that. So at the level of the illusion, at the level of the world, then I have to obey the agreements that we made in the world. You know, I have to do the things that I've agreed in this dream in the world. So I can see where if you are dealing with people that have been victimized every day, what they need more than anything is for you not to see them as a victim, but see them as someone who's powerful, who's calling for help right now. You know, it's like that's the approach that I take with dealing with worldly situations and circumstances.
And,
you know.
And what of the person who's perpetrated the situation?
That person has got to live within a world of their own mind and consciousness. So you know, just the out picture. For that part of me that needs him to get it, then I know that if he really doesn't change his consciousness and get in touch with the truth of himself, just his own attack thoughts are going to come back and take care of him. And it doesn't have nothing to do with whether he's ever called by the police. That's why the idea that thought is created, of course, that really isn't very popular. Because people don't really want to believe that the negative, fearful thoughts that they have could possibly manifest. So they want to believe that thoughts don't have no power, because they don't want the kind of thoughts they think all day to happen to them. So when you say stuff like thought is created, people don't jump up and down about that, because they know they're not thinking loving thoughts. They know they're thinking a bunch of crappy thoughts. And if they were really thinking cool thoughts, they jump up and down and cheer when they heard that the thoughts they were having was going to manifest. Yeah. That's how you can tell how negative we are. We don't get excited about the idea that if you're having a problem, your thoughts through God in you could transform that situation and that circumstance. And what's another really cool thing to keep in mind is that the things that I'm saying to the people that come here, they're just for the people that come here. And I don't mean that you're supposed to keep what I'm saying a secret. It's just that I know that the only people that would be sent to this room would be people that I could say something like, you're the one that's the creator of your experience. If you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, that's why the people that showed up here showed up, because whatever was supposed to come through me, they were supposed to hear it whether they chose to accept it or not. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? But a person that really didn't need to hear that they were... But sometimes people take that as bashing the victim. And what I'm really doing is empowering the victim. But people don't see that. If I see you as not being a victim, I'm seeing you as being powerful. Regardless of how that happened to you, no matter who caused it, I'm seeing you as powerful. That's my job, to see you as powerful. And if I see you as powerful, then the universe will see me as powerful. The power will come into my life and your life. And my life will work if I do what I came here to do. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's the other thing. You know, your life works when you're doing what you came here to do. If your life isn't working, you're not doing what you came here to do before you were born. You're just doing what somebody else told you you ought to do because you bought into the dream. And so now you believe that what society teaches is relevant to you. And you're trying to live somebody else's life. And that's going to make you miserable. That's how you know you're not being true to yourself, the Course says. It's because you're miserable. And that means that there's another way for you to see it. Like the person that was hurt or attacked, I would want to surround that person with so much love and so much light that they wouldn't even draw or magnetize or recreate or have something like that ever happen to them again. Rather than spend all my time trying to figure out where it came from. Instead of me trying to figure out why you're hurt, all I know is that as a child of God, you don't deserve to suffer. So I'm not concerned with the form of your pain. I just want to heal it. And that's what the Course says, that if something really loves you, it's not concerned with how you got there. It just wants you to be healed now. We're the only ones to try to decide whether or not somebody deserves it. Because we don't know how to love. So we think we can choose who's supposed to receive it and who's not supposed to receive it. But that we don't know that that's leaving us out, because that's creating a reality where the love for you could be left out. If you're creating a reality where the love for somebody else could be left out. And then you're shocked when something don't go right for you. But you created the hole in your experience that allowed the problem to come through. If I'm part of you and you decide I don't deserve the love, then that's a big hole sitting up here, and some fear can come out of me for you. Any questions? I don't know how helpful that was, but that's a powerful, powerful question. You see what I'm saying? I could just smack people. The part of me that likes to smack, that I can use the body for attack. I could just smack people when I tell them something's going on with me and they ask me why I created it. I could just go smack.
Yeah.
You know, because that's an attack. They're attacking you. They're not really being your friend. They're really attacking you on the sly. But then you got to realize that it don't mean anything, because it's up to you to decide how you're going to feel about what they said. You know what I'm saying? So I got so much power, I can give your thoughts no meaning. That's a deep power. Can you imagine what it would be like to walk around the world knowing that you could give everybody's thoughts all the meaning that it has for you, which means nothing that anybody says has to affect you any more than you want it to? Do you know how powerful that would feel to be so conscious that you could just choose not to be bothered by some fool?
Yeah.
Well, nothing that just makes you go yum yum, don't it? It's like because, man, I tell you, as long as you see yourself as at the effect level of everything around you, then you're gonna be afraid all the time. And if I use my body to join with your mind, then my body will be healed and my body will become more valuable to me, and I'll start to experience more love in my life. And the more love there is, the safer I am. You don't have to make the love. All you have to do is get out of the way of it so it can just come through you and do its thing. One of the most erroneous assumptions we have is that love is something we got to somehow generate from ourselves. And it's not generated from us. It just passes through us when we get our thoughts out of the friggin' way. You got so many damned up, bagged up, good things waiting to happen to you. It's going all the way across the universe. And as soon as you let go of the thoughts you have about yourself that's not the truth and it's not loving, all of that stuff is going to burst forth in your life instantaneously in a way that's going to blow your mind. But you have to resign as your own teacher. And you would do that when you see the results of what you taught yourself.
Sucks, doesn't it?
Yeah, when you take a good honest look at how good you've been at keeping yourself in constant happiness, you'll be glad to resign. And you'll give it up to the party you know. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So let me see. Okay, I got a couple more things I wanna share with you. So because if you walk out of here tonight and here's the other thought. The thing I said about attack is always physical. I wanna talk about that for a minute, because I've heard people tell me I hurt their feelings. I've heard people say that to me before. Have you ever had somebody tell you that you hurt their feelings?
Today, yeah.
Right. Anybody that look at you right in the eye and say that you're the one that's making them feel what they feel right now? Okay. The Course is saying if I come up to him and hit him, attack is physical. But if I come up here and go, oh, he didn't feel that. If I go, I hate you, he didn't feel that. If I go, you a lousy bum in my mind, he's not feeling that. He feels this. You cannot attack anyone or be attacked by anyone other than physically. Now, if they pick up a knife as a result of a thought that they're giving themselves and stab you, that's still physical. So whatever somebody says about you never has to hurt your feelings.
That's good.
Because you are the one that's determining how you are perceiving it and interpreting what they're giving you. Is this making sense to you?
Yeah. Totally.
I mean, because if you can just get a glimmering of the truth of what I'm saying, the power you could have over your own peace and your own emotional state is beyond your wildest dreams. He could call me the N-word. How I feel about that is still my interpretation. I could take that as, oh man, you got a deep call for love. You're totally missing who I really am. You think I'm somebody or something you learned when you were a kid to look at me. You just don't know how cool I am. Let's go to the movie so you can see. Or I could go, fight him, kick your ass! Now, which one of those will make for a cool evening? You know what I'm saying? It'd be much better to join minds with you and help you change your mind about how you see me than to attack you and thinking somehow or another that's going to make you think more highly of me rather than reinforcing what you already believe. So I help make you right about your erroneous assumption about me by defending against it.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, what do you say to yourself in that moment when you're being attacked by someone?
What I say in the moment that I'm being attacked with someone is the thing that I say on the level of consciousness I'm on then.
You what?
What I'm saying to people.
You know, right up there with somebody and they're attacking me, what I think while they're attacking me is based on whatever level of consciousness I'm on then. If I'm on a lower level of consciousness, I'm cutting their ass out. Okay? If I'm on a high level of consciousness, I'm going, this is a call for love, and this is not, doesn't have anything to do with me, and I'm going to choose for peace in this moment. And I'm just going to be still and let them express themselves and let them get it all out. And I'm going to let so much love come to me that it's going to neutralize what they're trying to do to me.
That's what you think, peace in this moment.
Yeah, but see, it's just like taking karate where they teach you the form so that when the situation comes, you'll go through it without thinking of it.
Right.
Well, that's what the Course is trying to get us to do. It's trying to get us to practice these ideas in these classes to the point that when the situation comes up, these ideas and these frame of references will just come up natural, and it won't be something you have to try to make yourself remember in that instant. Because in that instant, you're just going to respond instinctively from where you are in that instant. So that's why forgiving yourself is so important on the path. Because if you can't forgive yourself for those times when you still go back to some of your old thoughts, then it makes the whole journey to your awakening really painful and really hard. So you're gonna do the best you. It's at that moment that you get a good idea about where you really are in your consciousness. Mm-hmm. It's those type of situations that let you know whether this is just a philosophy that you're acting on or something that you really believe. Because we can all say all this cool stuff while we're sitting up in here, but it's the way you treat people. The ones you walk out that door, that is your level of consciousness. So I always think that the level of consciousness basically of anybody I'm around is the level of consciousness of their partner.
Say it again.
I basically believe the level, if it's a couple type situation, that the level of consciousness that the person is on is talking to me is this level of consciousness of their partner. Because who they were actually attracted to is more the indication of their true level of consciousness than the person that they say they want. So no matter what a person tells me they want, the one that actually gets their body to communicating is where their consciousness is really located. Because at this level, we use our bodies to join.
Yeah.
So it's who you, your body is drawn to that is telling you the most about your consciousness.
Jesus.
Because your body is your communication device. And that's a scary thought, isn't it? You know what I'm saying? To some people, that's a really scary thought. Because their specialness comes from believing that they're at least better than their partner. You know, sometimes, or their friends, you know, like I'm the one, like I bet you, I don't know about you, but I used to learn the truth with the attitude that I'm getting ready to take this wisdom back to my friends and my family. It wasn't like I needed to apply it to myself. I'm just trying to take notes so I can get you straight when I get home. You know what I'm saying? I already got my act together. You know what I'm saying? So you can't read this book and can deceive yourself. That's why when people want to deceive themselves by doing something they know is not best for them, they avoid the people and the situations that will reveal or teach the truth to them. That's why you don't see a lot of couples in classes like this. You know why? Because when people get in a special relationship, they usually want to deceive themselves so bad that they wouldn't dare put themselves in the presence of anything that would remind them how much they're fooling themselves again. Mm-hmm. Did you hear me? Okay, I'll say it again. Usually when people get in a special relationship, that's when they're ready to deceive themselves. That's when they want to see whatever they want to see based on what's happened to them in the past. That's where they got their scripts and their fantasies are located. And they don't want anything to interfere with their fantasy. So if they're with someone that's, let's say, not even really good for them, just their same pattern that they would have been through 1,000 times. Well, subconsciously, they know if they come to a class like this or any other truth class, it's going to be revealed to them how they're fooling themselves and how stupid it all is. And why would you want to be in a situation like that? So if I want to stay in something, I've got to avoid anything that would represent the truth for me. Mm-hmm. So usually when people are intensely involved in relationships, they're so busy trying to complete themselves to each other that they can't take the time to still allow themselves to hear the truth. Because the truth would reveal whether the relationship was real or not. So if you really want to find out really fast whether you're wasting your time, just bring truth into any of your relationships. And you will see in a second whether or not it's real. All you have to do is be yourself. Have what the Course calls a direct relationship with somebody. And a direct relationship is a relationship where you're not adjusting to each other. It's what you are is sufficient. The way you are is okay. There's nothing I need to change about you. We're having a direct relationship. I love you the way you are. The Course says if you're in a relationship that's really painful, it's not just love relationships, any relationships, he says that in that case, you have already adjusted yourself. You have already adjusted yourself out of your happiness. Okay? So now you do need to make an adjustment. So people who are unhappy in any area, they need to adjust. If you're happy, don't adjust. Got that? Just extend it. Let more and more people be in the presence of it. Let more and more people see it. Let more and more people appreciate it. If you're happy. If you're miserable, then we've got to adjust our thinking back to the truth so that we won't be surrounded by people in situations that's always asking us to change in order for everything to be okay. Mm-hmm. That's how you know you're in an illusion when it's always telling you you need to just change just this much in you and I'll love you again and you'll be okay again. And then people say, well, what about those situations where that person is mistreating you and doing horrible things to you? They are letting you know that you are not loving yourself enough. Because if you were, they would disappear or transform.
Yeah. I get that one. That's good. That's like frosting on the cake.
Can I talk about, can I talk to your girlfriend? Is that the truth? Okay. You need to let yourself hear how much you are loved and valuable. You need to know what it feels like for somebody to look at you in your eyes and they're looking at you with total appreciation and they're not trying to get anything from you. Because they're already full. They're like, they're walking around like a glass that's overflowing. So you're just experiencing the overflow.
Don't get wet.
Yeah, ain't nothing missing. I don't feel like, oh, I can be generous with everybody. Why? Because I'm giving everybody the overflow.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And we can light each other up just like matches. Like you take one match to light another. You know, we can literally look in each other's eyes and just really look at each other with acknowledgement and realize that we actually are so blessed that we have each other right now.
Amen.
I swear, you all are really the light of the world.
Yeah.
And there is nothing you can do to lose eternal love. There's not one single thing you can do to lose the love of something that really loves you. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. But can change was never love.
That was my favorite statement, of course. My favorite.
Yeah. What can change was never love. You can't love me one day. And you can't love me last month, but I blew it. So you don't love me no more. No, you didn't never love me in the beginning. Then the ego goes, oh, yes, I did. You don't know how I sacrificed. You just don't know. Yeah, but nobody asked you. When did you get the postcard that said the universe is now asking you to sacrifice? And I had to realize all my sacrifice was coming from me. I was the one that was deciding to lose. The Course that we see sacrifice is lost. When you say I'm a sacrifice for somebody, you say, I'm willing to lose for you.
Yeah.
I'm willing to give up what I want for you. And resentment is not going to result. And then it says loss is an attitude. It's not a physical thing. Because what's lost to one person is gained to another. So nobody really knows what loss is. There is no definition for loss that will work for everybody. If you work 100 hours a week for your family and you love them, it's not a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. If you work 9 jobs to send your kids to college and you love them, it's not a sacrifice. It's only a sacrifice when you're thinking, I'd much rather be somewhere else than mopping this floor. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sacrifice is an attitude. It's never a sacrifice what you give to someone you love. It's a pleasure. It turns you on. Because the giving is going to come through your... The Course says what goes through your body affects your body first. So all the good stuff you sent out, you're the first one to feel it.
It's
true. So that's why when you give love to somebody, that's why the Course says, you know, giving and receiving is the same. You got the gift at the moment that you gave it. People are expecting to receive the rewards for stuff that they've done in the past and the future. They don't realize they received the reward the instant they did it.
Yeah.
In other words, if I felt good helping you, then the way that I felt when I helped you was the reward right then.
Yeah.
So if I want to keep feeling that good feeling, I have to keep being that loving being. I can't be good today and a crappy person for the next 7 days looking forward to the 2 weeks in the future that I get the result that I was a good guy 3 weeks ago. I bet you some of you are walking around now waiting for the reward of something you did a long time ago. I bet you some of y'all right now saying, I'm suffering, but I know one day in the future I'll look back on that and I know why I went through that. Right? So the Course says that all we have to do, take care, Lee, all we have to do is realize that if you change your mind now, then you deserve to receive the benefits of that change now and not sometime in the future.
Don't go changing.
All right. Would y'all be willing to acknowledge yourselves?
Oh, yeah.
Woo!
Woo! Be willing to acknowledge you.
Woo!
You are brilliant.
Thank you. There's no way, if you were really seeing me as being one with you, that you wouldn't be glad to acknowledge me and I wouldn't be glad to acknowledge you. It would be the only sane thing to do if you were really trying to appreciate yourself.
Cool.
Or if you really wanted it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I've noticed in my life, the people who want it the most are the people who give it the less. The people who won't appreciate. Watch the people who complain about how they don't get appreciated,
yeah,
and how people, and just watch and watch how they do in situations where they could appreciate. They'll be the saddest person in the room. They don't get it. They don't get it. That it doesn't show up until you become it.
Yeah.
I love that.
I do too.
I love that.
Become the change you want to see.
So I'd like to thank you for sharing with me. Thank you for sharing with me and my full-time ministry with the Course. I appreciate that. I appreciate it. You know, the temple appreciates it. I think we got an incredibly beautiful space here, and I'm glad that we love it enough to make sure we can stay in it.
And that
say it over and over again, even at the risk of losing everybody. Because people, the Course says, those who fear always run away from love. That they love fear and they fear love. So they love to go to that which really is frightening, and they run away from the thing that's really love. And so when you first start experiencing that as you wake up more on the path, don't get your feelings hurt. Just understand that that's where it happens. That for some people, the more loving you become, the more frightening you're going to become to them. Because they can't conceive of anybody really being real. Because they've never met anybody real, and they've never been real enough with themselves yet. So you make them feel afraid for their innocence. Because we've done it so much. You still might do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, I think I still might do it. I'm positive there's some people that could walk up on me that would be so loving that it could possibly freak me out. I just didn't think I deserved that much love and that much compassion and that much understanding.
Yeah.
That it's got to be a trick. It's got to be something you're trying to get. It's got to be something about that that's not real. So I'm trying to love myself enough so that when real love shows up, I'll actually be able to let it in. When everything you want shows up, you want to be on a level of consciousness where you will let it in and recognize it.
That's a good goal.
That's what these classes are about.
Yeah.
That's exactly what these classes are about. Because it's going to show up, but you don't want to still be so in fear and misperception about yourself that the thing you've always wanted to be right in front of your face and you don't even friggin' see it.
I was just going to say, why does it seem to take so long?
It's a matter of motivation. It's a matter of motivation. The Course says the holy desire is to create. There's no way you can totally desire anything and not create it. So if it's not showing up, I don't totally desire it yet. That means I still think some part of it could hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to learn how to let go of my fear of having it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Pass the thing, huh?
I didn't pass it. I'm glad y'all told me, because this is like the lowest love offering I ever had. I said, I really messed up tonight. I look down there. Okay. It's all right. I appreciate y'all sharing. I really do. You awesome beings. Awesome beings. Any other announcements? There's a what to bleep. And it's perfectly okay, you know, if you have to go or whatever, you know, that's okay. I know that's all right.
Did you hear what I said? I could stay all night. No, I'm just, you keep going. I don't need to
stop.
No, wait a minute. I can hear.
I didn't say anything.
Wait.
I didn't say a word.
I know you did.
I didn't say a word.
I read my own damn mind.
It's not a machine, woman.
I can hear this stuff all my life. Get a little candle. Oh, yeah.
Now we're coming on into the runway. We're getting ready to go out here in the lab and see if we can apply anything that we heard tonight. Just take one thought out of this class, just one thought, just one thing that really clicked for you. And remember that, tell yourself, I give everything I see all the meaning.